there's something strange in the water at Lost River Lake. Something you can't see. Something you can't feel. Until it's too late. Piranha. The deadliest man-eaters of all. In schools of hundreds, they attack and devour anything that moves with razor-sharp teeth that can strip a man to the bone in less than a minute.
You want a phone?
You're the piranha.
I told you not even to say that word.
But the piranhas.
What about the piranhas?
They're eating the guests, sir.
They're here. And they're hungry. Piranha.
Right, geeks, freaks, nerds, comic book fans, movie fans, total dorks.
And even jocks now listen to our geek culture.
Maybe even some jocks. There's a guy on Twitter named Geek Jock whose name just blew my mind. But you have returned through the murky waters to find yourself in the action room.
All right, we have a big show.
Okay.
Big show.
Let's get stuff out of the way. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Producer Mike.
Join us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We have new shows every Monday and Friday, and it's morning, and you're listening, probably.
Now, after the break, we have the nerd news as normal, and we have comic book expert Alan Kistler will join us in the action room, and he's best known at this point for a video clip he has on YouTube where he sits down with Tim Gunn and they talk about superhero costumes
yes.
and fashion and stuff, which is really funny.
It's a good clip.
And then also, we're going to be going during the break, after Alan's interview, we're going to actually literally, during the show, we're going to take a break from the show, go see Piranha 3D.
Yes.
And at the end of the show, we will come back. And we will give you the review.
The review will be so fresh, because the movie will be so fresh in our minds. We're all about fresh content here at the Action Room.
Freshwater reviews.
Freshwater reviews. No salt water here at the Action Room.
Okay, so something interesting happened recently. I just came upon this. I didn't even realize this. There's a new series, speaking of Piranha 3D, of Jerry O'Connell's called The Defenders.
And it's on CBS, I think?
It's on CBS. It premieres this Wednesday. So you'll be listening, depending on when you're hearing the show, September 22nd, Wednesday at 10 o'clock is 9 Central.
And it's him and Jim Belushi playing lawyers in Las Vegas?
Yeah, a courtroom drama, which is funny because I was looking it up, and The Defenders was a courtroom drama from the 60s, too.
Ah.
But I don't think it's the same thing.
It's
also
not about the superhero team, The Defenders.
I was just going to say, what's The Defenders comic book?
The Defenders comic book is like a weird C-level superhero team that used to have the Hulk, Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, Damian Hellstrom, Hellstorm, who else? It had Valkyrie. It's a weird C-level super team.
Have they ever talked of a movie for that? Or
they're actually, on IMDb, there is a paragraph plot, an official summary of a theoretical real Defenders movie.
Wow.
The idea is that in the movie universe, the Defenders would take on, like, supernatural or weird threats, almost like X-Files type threats. But
right.
It seems to be authentic. Look for it on IMDb. But no one's ever really commented on the fact that it's there in the last year.
I'm sure they'll do it. Okay, so James Belushi, who's John Belushi's brother,
yes.
Yeah, co-stars with Jerry O'Connell. And somebody else who co-stars on it was on our show
yes.
years ago.
Tanya Fisher.
And she plays Sophie on The Defenders now. But she was in a show called Life on Mars, if anybody remembers that.
It was only 2 years ago.
And she played Wendy. And
she was kind of the hippie, mysterious chick on Life on Mars.
And it made a weird turn on the show that it became like kind of a dream sequence. It took place in the 70s, but they were actually all on a spaceship
yeah.
in Mars.
And she was the computer of the spaceship, it turned out. Sorry we just spoiled the series, but it's 2 years old. So
and it was only on for a season. It was from a BBC show. Anyway, we had her on. I wanted to play a little clip from somebody who actually is now too big to be on the show, probably. So
and she had also guest starred on Law and Order right after she was on our show,
yeah,
playing a dominatrix.
But at this time in the show, when she was on our show, just kind of where things are at with actors and stuff, she didn't know when her next gig would be. You know?
She was a struggling actress.
This is a clip of her talking about the types of roles she'd like to do and what she has to do to just make money. And so here you go.
Do you typically find yourself gravitating towards, like, the free spirit, as we say, sort of parts, or what are you typically cast in?
Well, see, That right there, Life on Mars, was my first gig where I was paying rent as an actress.
Right.
So,
good feeling.
Yeah. I was bartending before then and picking up other random odd jobs. But ideally, I definitely want to play something from a comic book or a vampire or a...
I can see that. Okay. And it's another clip time. We have another clip that we want to play.
Not from Tanya Fisher.
Not from Tanya
Fisher.
So
she's not going to be a dominatrix in The Defenders? Man, damn it.
Well, she might be. Who knows?
Who knows?
Let's see how it goes.
And you went to, can we say that you went to high school with Jerry O'Connell?
I did.
All right.
Okay. But no promises of getting him on the show, but that would be
right.
Cool.
We will. You never know.
And the other thing was Scott Pilgrim, we went to Meet the Filmmakers event with Edgar Wright, Michael Cera, Jason Schwartzman, and who's the girl?
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick.
And this was at the Apple Store about 5 days before the Scott Pilgrim movie opened. Now we're in the second weekend of Scott Pilgrim. We hope it does pretty well in this second weekend. It deserves to do well.
It does.
I don't want to see it die an ignominious death in the movie
theater. It'll do great on DVD, though, either way.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you asked a question during this event.
I got to speak as press, and I identified myself as part of the Action Room for all the world to hear.
And
it's on iTunes' official podcast.
Yeah, you can check it out. And true to form, you asked such a long question that it confused them. And let's play the first half of your question where Edgar Wright answers your question. Here you go.
I'm Tony with TheActionRoom.com, and I just wanted to ask about the soundtrack. I know you guys gave away some free copies of the soundtrack. You work with Beck. You had a lot of songs to get the rights to, and I know that you even got in the original Plumtree song that Scott Pilgrim is named after. Also, if you, as a B part of the question, if you want to talk about, you guys actually played your instruments with the band, Michael and the other members of the band?
Yeah, we kind of been working on the soundtrack for like 2 years. Nigel Godrich did the score, and we had this idea like to get different bands to play the different fictional bands. So different artists would do it, like so it would all sound pretty diverse and wouldn't sound like this. Wouldn't sound like one composer had done all the songs.
Now, that was really cool. Now, the second part was him referring to the part B, you know, part of your question, as if it was seven parts and, you know.
I wanted to get a lot in. You have to cram a lot in when you have the ear of these famous people.
But then this one, Michael Cera answers your question.
That's right. That's why. That was the method to my madness. So let's hear it.
I think yours was a seven-part question, so I've forgotten parts 2 to 7. I'm sorry.
Did you guys play your own instruments, Michael and the rest of the band?
No. We weren't playing the instruments. We were just instrument syncing, which we got really good at. We practiced these songs for like 2 months before we went and shot, so the three of us really knew them and also felt a certain ownership over them because we had been playing them every day. But yeah, no, we're not actually playing, but Mark Webber is actually singing in the movie.
It's kind of like in some ways, you know, if you can shoot two people with one bullet, so that's what you were doing.
That's
so.
The Tony Wolf way. Producer Mike has taught me all too well. Maximize your time.
What's that? What's that?
Oh, oh my God.
Oh, no.
Is there a killer animal coming for us?
Ow! Producer Mike!
That song has become my favorite song in the course of the last 24 hours.
You won't stop singing. It's really annoying.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Can you please stop?
It's amazing. And they also have the Xbox Atari reference.
Can our guest tell us to stop?
Okay.
Alan, please tell Tony to stop.
I have no real authority over him. I'm just here. I don't know what I'm even doing here.
All right. Well, let us introduce our special guest this episode. We have Mr. Alan Kistler, who is a noted comic book expert and actor and writer.
Woo! Wait, we actually have an actual audience. Can we hear the audience?
Yeah. That's my co-host, Jennifer Ewing.
She's like your groupie. Like if we were in a band, she's watching us play.
It's good to have someone around to make you feel semi-important.
It's like Knives Chow in the Scott Pilgrim.
She is in no way like Knives.
All right, Alan, I've known about you for a long time. You so many things. You write for Newsarama. You write for MTV Splash Page. You have a show called Crazy Sexy Geeks.
Right.
And you also have been a comic book historian and expert on several DVD releases from the DC Warner Brothers animated cartoon series.
And the upcoming Superman Batman Apocalypse. You'll see me there as well talking
very
about...
Very awesome.
Explaining the new gods and Darkseid and all that fun stuff.
But okay. Now the thing you're known for is the Tim Gunn video on YouTube.
Yeah, that kind of exploded me all over the place.
That's over 100,000 awesome. Hits. Now, how did this happen? You basically sit down with Tim Gunn talking about superhero like fashion and their costumes and stuff like that. How did this all come about? How did you get Tim Gunn from Project Runway to sit down and talk geek?
Well, Tim actually is a geek. He grew up on the Superman show with George Reeves. Absolutely loved that. That was what his whole deal was when he was a kid. And he checked out some comics here and there, Batman, Superman, all the rest. And he did actually a project about Marvel heroes back when he was studying fashion.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
Okay. So he did a while back, he was in Models, Inc. in the new comic book series that Marvel produced.
And Phil Jimenez drew that cover of him with Iron Man, right?
Right, and Phil and I had met a couple of times, and I've been a fan of Phil for so many years.
He's amazing.
His stuff is fantastic. He understands to give people different bodies, and which is something that's...
Different faces, which is also rare.
It's something that some comic book artists don't seem to get. But so they were doing a signing at Midtown, and I was there covering it anyway, and I had this idea to do a little fashion... superhero fashion episode for Crazy Sexy Geeks, because I also knew that Bloomingdale's was going to have some superhero gear coming out in a few weeks. So I'm like, okay, I'll...
Oh, that's right. They had that whole thing. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll take footage from that. I'll take footage from Tim. It'll be a nice little fashion episode. And so I talked to him for maybe, a minute and a half for that initial interview. And then we were just chatting, because we were just waiting for them to set up for the signing table.
Right.
And we were just joking around, and we were getting along, and I got to talk to his assistant while they were actually signing books, and it just occurred to me all of a sudden that there were so many heroes who've had multiple costumes.
No, it's
over
a great
years,
idea. Yeah.
You know? And I was just like, wow, like what if I showed Tim, like, here's the classic Spider-Man costume, but here are like five others they've tried. Like, what would Tim think about the black costume? So once there was a lull in the crowd, I went up and was like, hey Tim, tell me if you're too busy for this. Tell me if this is just not your area. But I had this idea, and I told him, and he thought it was hilarious. And he was such a nice guy about it, gave me his email address immediately. He's like, you've been talking to my assistant, to email her too.
Now, you did, you filmed it where? In his office?
Yeah, we went over to Liz Claiborne, because he's the chief creative officer there now. And we sat down for about an hour and just filmed.
That's great, man.
It's two parts, right?
It's a two-parter, because I didn't want to cut out any more than that.
Okay.
As it is now, the only stuff that I cut out is us chatting or starting to throw jokes at each other, or if he was asking me a few continuity questions, like whatever happened to Mon-El, like that. Yeah, Tim Gunn knows who Mon-El is.
Did he like Mon-El's costume? Mon-El's costume is a classic vintage sort of costume.
He likes the older Mon-El costume, the one that was recently in World Without a Superman.
Right.
He was not a fan of.
I could see him liking the old,
Well, because the new one was too Superman for him, the little blue S-shield and everything else. He's like, well, that's just lazy. That's just reverse Superman.
Right. And he's part of the Superman Legion or something.
Exactly.
It's called Crazy Sexy Geeks. Tim Gunn Strikes.
Right, that's the...
Tim Gunn Strikes.
It's a two-parter. The first one is Tim Gunn Strikes. The second part is Tim Gunn Strikes Part the Second. You can...
Now, Alan, the big question is, can you do an impersonation of Tim Gunn?
It's kind of like this.
Okay. I have to say, for a good few weeks, because of how he reacted to a couple costumes, he had the Electric Superman outfit.
Oh. Right.
His reaction, he was just like... Perplexing. I did that for 3 weeks whenever I saw something that I didn't like. And just...
That's
perplexing.
It's like Leonard Nimoy's fascinating.
Yeah, you know? It's just...
But perplexing is not used.
It was such a great word.
Wow.
And he and I are actually planning to do a few more videos.
Awesome.
Because he had a great time doing it.
And he was a comics fan as a kid. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, not like we are.
Right.
But, I mean, he definitely read some. And he has a great respect for the visual.
Would you love to do kind of like... What was the baseball series on PBS, but all about comic books? What was that guy that does all those?
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns.
Like Burns.
Because you've been in these documentary sort of special feature segments.
Yeah, no, I would love it if Crazy Six of Geeks were a real show and not just me getting together with a bunch of friends interviewing people, which is really fun, but that's also a labor of love, and I would love to reach a wider audience where we can also just talk about you know, the fact that these are taking the place of morality tales. I mean, I didn't grow up learning about certain moral lessons from a lot of fairy tales because I didn't. I saw them. I read the fairy tales, but I didn't take them seriously because they were so removed. But for whatever reason, when Spider-Man said to the Punisher, "It is not right to kill," and explained why, I paid attention.
That hit
when
a
Captain
nerve.
America talked about the difference between government control and government authority. I listened.
Yeah.
And when Mr. T told you to drink milk,
exactly.
I wanted to drink milk.
Mr. T told me to do anything. I listened because that man was a scary man.
As Danny O'Neill said, it's a modern mythology, and it hit him as he was writing Batman.
And it's a great one reason why Tim and I have become friends. We've gotten along. Is he was talking about fashion that. He'll be the first guy to say, you don't need fashion. It's not necessary. You need clothing for protection
basic
functions, but you don't need fashion. But fashion is, one, fun, and two, it says where we are right now, what we're thinking about, and what we'd like to do. Right, and comic books are the same way, as is science fiction.
Yeah.
Without further ado, let's do the comic book trivia contest. Okay, so, all right, so we're going to do basically...
Yeah, I'm totally... Producer Mike has not revealed anything to me.
For one of the first times, I'm going to be hosting a game show segment because Tony has to be
part
of it.
I'm usually Mr. Game Show
host. Okay, this is the way we'll play.
Are you going to do that practice question that I got wrong and
I was
scared about?
We'll do 10 questions, and basically whoever gets the most right...
He'll alternate. It's like he'll yield it to me. If I don't get it right, you get it.
Equal back and forth.
I hear you.
The first question is that...
Is this the practice question?
Just to see what level we're at.
Okay, interesting.
What superhero was born with the curse of Kordax? Hawkman, Ghost Rider, Captain Marvel, or Aquaman?
That would be Aquaman.
Ooh, you got it.
I did not know that. Yeah. I vaguely had a
dim
memory.
I'm a huge Aquaman fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully, Alan has not seen where I got these from. But
it's some site.
You can pretend.
Maybe you have.
Oh, okay. I know not of this site.
All right.
Comics trivia site.
Oh,
here,
cool.
Here is the first question.
All right. Who is it directed to?
Oh yeah.
Or do we have to go or something?
Yeah, how about we flip for it? Do you have a quarter?
I might. Hold on. This is totally unrehearsed.
It's so dramatic.
How about we flip your keys?
Hold on, wait, okay.
How would that work?
So, okay. Heads or tails? This is live coin toss in the action room.
I'll say heads.
Okay. It is tails.
All right. So Tony goes first.
I feel like it's a soccer game. Good game. We haven't even played yet.
Tony, your first question is...
Okay.
What supervillain...
And these will all be multiple choice, by the way.
Okay, Tony, you're going to have to stop talking for 2 seconds. What supervillain was created when... Now, okay, this is the other thing. I'm not totally a comic book geek, so if I pronounce things wrong...
Oh, yeah. He's not as knowledgeable.
And I haven't also read a lot of these questions,
too.
It's cool. Okay.
It's good to know we prepare.
What supervillain was created by... created when Emil Blonsky, a spy assassinated to steal the research of Dr. Bruce Banner, accidentally exposed himself to a concentrated burst of gamma rays?
Okay, can I tell you before the multiple choice?
I got to give you the multiple choice. That's the fun part.
Alan knows this.
Yeah, I do.
I should write down also the number of what people are doing.
Do you have a tally thing? Yes.
Actually, do we want the person watching?
Yeah, Jennifer, why don't you make yourself useful?
Jennifer, come here and introduce
yourself. She's going to hit me.
Jennifer, Jennifer, introduce yourself. Come on to Mike
Jennifer
for a
Ewing.
Second.
Come on to the mic.
Say hi to the audience.
Hello, audience. My name is Jennifer Ewing. It's nice to be here.
And you are a frequent co-host of Crazy Sexy Geek.
I am. I am their token cute girl.
All right.
And she is
who
a cute
reads
girl.
Comics.
I do. I read. I understand.
You genuinely read comics. I saw you nodding your head
in
acknowledgement.
Yes.
Like, I got her into it a year ago.
Okay.
All right. So Jennifer will be keeping score. So
awesome.
Okay. Like a ring girl.
Right,
like
right.
A boxing. Sorry, Jennifer. I just had to go there.
She gets worse abuse from me.
Okay. All right. So
So I have 1 point. That's
okay.
All.
Well, you didn't even answer. But hold on.
I'm treating it as a foregone conclusion.
Okay. All right. The multiple choice is, if anybody even remembers the question, the leader, Abomination, Bi-Beast, or Doc Samson.
Bi-Beast, that's hilarious. It is the Abomination.
You are correct.
Okay.
Ding, ding,
okay.
Ding.
I hated Bi-Beast.
One for Tony.
Bi-Beast. I remember him, but man, that's obscure.
Right,
okay.
I'm hoping these questions have some challenge involved.
That was still a good question.
Alan, you have the next question.
Yes.
What Chester Gould character made his first appearance in the Detroit Free Press on October 4th?
Oh, my
4th.
God.
Hold on. You can't talk over. October 4th, 1931.
Oh,
was
God.
It Dick Tracy, Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, or Superman?
I'm going to say Dick Tracy?
You are correct.
Okay.
Ding,
God.
Ding, ding.
Okay.
I mean, there are a couple of those. Gould created Superman, as we all know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there are a couple of those that can't possibly be.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like an obscure Dick Tracy character, like Flat Top or whatever.
Okay.
We have to move
then,
on.
No,
anyway,
no.
All right.
Next question for Tony. What superhero grew up on the planet Tamaron? Tamaron?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I think I know, but give me the multiple.
Hawk Girl, Ultra Boy, Starfire, the Silver Surfer.
It's Starfire.
Yes, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Everybody's going to get everything right here. Okay.
How would you pronounce that? Tamaron?
I usually
Tamarind?
Tamaron.
Tamaron.
Yeah, okay.
All right, the next question. For Alan and for the block. What what superhero grew up... Oh, no, I just read that. Okay.
Okay. Bruce Mike, when he said he doesn't read, he really means he doesn't read.
Edwin Jarvis
yes.
serves as butler to what super team? That's pretty
wow.
basic.
We want yeah. some harder questions.
All right,
anyway.
I'm going to move on. I'm actually going to try another
yeah.
question.
That's okay. the Avengers for anyone who didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, we
yeah.
might not end up having 10 questions, but here we go. Okay.
I thought Curse of Kordak, that was a little more obscure than certainly who's the Avengers butler. Come on.
Who has the most points after I'm done reading questions? Okay, which of these super heroines was inhabited by the soul of an ancient Egyptian princess after attempting suicide?
This is still Alan's question because you
yes.
skipped that one.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. So, was it the Huntress, Hawk Girl, Black Canary, or Wonder Woman?
That would be Hawk Girl.
Ding, Kendra. Ding, ding. Okay.
Yes.
All right, this one might serve as a problem.
Okay.
Okay, Tony. What
Bring
year,
me the problem. Bring it on.
What year was the first modern comic book printed? 1917, 1925, 1933 or 1938?
Motherfucker. All right. 1917, I feel, is too early. So let's eliminate that.
Alan, do you
that.
Know the answer to this question?
I believe I do.
Okay. Read me the other ones, please. Can I write them down? Because they're all
no,
so
no,
like,
you
close to
write
each other. They're so close to each other in years.
19,
there's a 33 and a 38.
1917, 1925, 1933, or 1938?
I want to say 1933, because I think Superman was 36, and I know that they were originally compiled comic strips. I'm going to say 33, and I'm going to bet it all.
All right. Alan, do you think it's 1933?
I actually think that, too.
Okay. It is 1933.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Is, yeah. is 36 Superman?
It's 38 is Superman.
Okay.
He was
right,
technically
right.
created in 1934, but they didn't publish him until 1938.
Right, because everyone rejected him. Great
right.
story. Okay.
This trivia contest is proving to be no challenge for anyone.
Well,
okay.
still, that, we have to think about that.
No, that one I have to think about.
Okay, this, right. so this is Alan now.
All right, this might be, I guess this is easy too. Alan, and
yeah.
maybe I'll move on. Alan, who is the Scarlet Witch's twin brother?
That would be Pietro Maximoff Silver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next
That's
question.
Good. Yeah.
What is, for Tony,
yes.
what superhero gained his powers after being exposed to the orb of Ra?
Ah.
Okay, let me hear that. I think I know it.
Hawkman, Doctor Strange, Metamorpho, or Iron Fist?
I believe it's Metamorpho.
Tony?
Oh, no! It's Hawkman? No. Who is it?
You are correct.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah.
I was second-guessing
yeah.
myself there.
Him and Element Girl.
Yes, and Neil Gaiman just had, or is it Gaiman?
It's Gaiman.
Gaiman in the Wednesday Comics, that great
yeah.
Mike Allred illustrated Metamorpho book.
Okay.
Anyway, thank
Unfortunately,
you.
We
thank
only,
you for scaring me, Producer Mike.
I had to do a little bit of an American Idol thing there. we only have one more question left, so...
How many we had? Like seven?
So wait, what is the score at this point?
You can yell.
If Alan gets it right, this will be a tie.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Do you have tiebreaker questions?
I don't. This is a...
motherfucking cheap site.
I guess we just have to start asking each other questions.
Yeah, I'll just ask you something non-related
oh,
to
I could ask
books.
Him the question that Justin Tyler did not know, and we had him on the show.
No, but the tiebreaker would be between you two.
Oh, yeah, all right. I just want to ask you that for fun afterwards,
yeah.
just off
okay.
the record.
All right, anyway.
Because I smoked him on that.
Okay. Last question for Alan. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce this. T'Challa?
Yes,
yeah.
that's pretty
okay.
good. We already know who this question is about.
The king of Wakanda.
Waka waka.
Okay. Is also known as what superhero?
Oh,
the Black Panther.
All right, you got it.
Okay.
T'Challa, son of T'Chaka.
All right, so it's a tie,
yes.
you're saying. Right, Jennifer? Okay.
It is a tie. It's just like every superhero fight ever. Would the Thing or the Hulk win? It sort of is a tie. Right? They never give you a real definitive.
Okay, I have a great tiebreaker.
Okay.
You have a question you feel is a challenging question?
It is.
Uh-oh.
Is it comic book related or
is
it facetious?
Listen, here's the question. Okay, you have between 1 and 10. What number am I thinking of right now? Tony!
6.
Alan?
9.
It was 3. Tony wins.
Well
Wait,
done,
I don't
sir.
Win. You didn't say it was who was closer. You just said you have to guess the number.
I think that's implied. Okay, fine.
That's not fair. We're all about fairness here.
Tony,
at the
nobody
room.
Wins then. Fine, it's a tie. It's a
Do
tie.
You, yeah. Wait, what if you come up? Could Jennifer come up with a trivia comic book question?
I think it's hard. I think it's a good. You guys are equally matched. This is a
all
good
right.
Game.
We're shaking hands. We're shaking hands on the air. I still have to say on the record. I believe Alan probably knows a good 20% more than I do. Perhaps
I would like to present Alan with a gift anyway, a prize.
We usually have prizes. You have a prize?
Oh, well, sweet.
Geeksoap.net.
Yes.
Gave us some prizes. They make soap in the form of nerdy things. And
I
believe,
like it.
I believe this is a World of Warcraft stone of some sort.
can we give him the other one? I don't know if you're into Warcraft.
No. Well, it doesn't matter. It's still soap. Okay.
it's still useful.
Yeah, Jennifer, does he need soap?
Oh, well.
And I'd like to thank you for being on our show. And also, if you want to plug anything real quick, plug all your websites.
All your stuff.
Weekly
column. What's your main website?
My main website is KistlerUniverse.com. KISTLER Universe.com.
I think you should spell universe.
No, I'm not doing that. And that's like an archive of everything I do. And Asian of Style is out every week.
That's your column on
Newsrama. That's my superhero fashion column. There will be a couple new episodes of Crazy Sexy Geeks on the YouTube channel, Crazy Sexy Geeks series, this week.
And you're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter under Sizzler Kistler.
Sizzler.
Sizzler is a nickname I've had since I was 15. And
and you also write for MTV.
I write for MTV.com/page. A couple of guys who worked there used to work at comics, went off to work at MTV, and so.
Oh, we've been handed a note from Jennifer here.
And
there's
a great independent movie coming out soon that's being filmed in Scotland called The Electric Man.
Nice.
That is going to be starring as a female lead, my co-host Jennifer Ewing.
Are you Scottish, Jennifer?
And she will be Scottish in the movie. It's kind of like the Maltese Falcon meets Clerks.
All right.
And I'm supposed to give a shout out to Megan McGill, Lisa McMullen of The Escape, and David Mack, who just brought out The Calling, which is a great novel that everyone should read.
David Mack, the comic artist? David Mack.
This is David Allen Mack, who is often confused with comic book
artists. Oh, but I've heard of him. Okay.
Yes. He's a great writer.
All right, so thank you so much, Alan Kistler and Jennifer Ewing.
And I think Alan might even interview us for his show.
Oh, yeah, you wanted to do a little video thing as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right,
we'll be back. And actually, what we're going to do right now, we're going to go see Piranha 3D, and when we come back from the break, we will give you the review of Piranha 3D.
Fresh from our minds.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
Oh my gosh.
We just got back from Piranha 3D, and
it's pretty terrific.
It's fucking awesome, and this is the best movie I've seen in a long time. Plus, this was better than I thought it was going to be, and I heard it was great.
Yeah. Dude. It is a terrific, smart, but schlocky in that very self-aware way of those horror movies from the 70s and 80s. But it's actually well written, even though it's all these stock scenarios that we all have seen before. But it's so well executed. The director is Alejandro Aja of Piranha 3D. And he's really made something so much fun, so smart, and just so entertaining.
And I was a fan of his from High Tension and his Hills Have Eyes remake. So I knew he'd be good, but this was still better. It was so much fun. And the big thing, you know, I was telling Tony and stuff, this is a stupid film. But it's a good, stupid film,
as
opposed to The Expendables. So it's just
a smart, stupid film.
It's a smart, stupid film. And the thing is, it's like, and this is the one big thing that we noticed is, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that things being shot now on 3D.
This was shot with 3D cameras, you had told me, as opposed to a conversion.
So they have to, supposedly, 3D is only effective when the shots are relatively long. They can't be really short, choppy, you know, shots and stuff. And this was definitely, it seemed to be, that was it was all done on purpose, because everything was very slow, everything was very paced. And it
not that the pace of the movie was slow in a bad way, simply that stuff had more intensity, because it was like, especially when it's a horror movie, it's like a build and suspense, and it's scary, and when is the thing going to jump out at you?
Well, that's the thing I think is interesting, is that the slower tempo, the thing, when the editing's not super fast, the way MTV kind of developed movies, made movies
into, it gets you
into,
more invested.
It's the way films used to be.
Yeah.
And films, I think, in a lot of ways, used to be better because of that. There was atmosphere, and it made you feel like you were in something,
yeah,
you know, and in a world, and you cared about the characters. Because these are like, it's a simple story, but it made you care.
It's
it was
just
like,
well done, you know. If only The Expendables was done for what it is, as well as Piranha 3D was done for what it is.
So I think it's interesting if there actually is a silver lining to the 3D experience, that it's going to make filmmakers, it's going to force them to slow down.
And make people
cool
focus,
yeah,
and build investment in the scenarios, the scenes.
So
just really, really good. Go see. If you have any inkling of seeing it, see Piranha 3D.
Yeah, no, and even if you don't have an inkling, you have to see it. This is probably, I don't know, so far, this is my favorite film of the summer, by far. I know you love Scott Pilgrim.
I love Scott Pilgrim, yeah.
But this has to be a second to Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Iron Man 2 is also great.
Oh, that was
great,
too.
Looking over the whole summer. But this is its own genre. You know, it's not like any of those other movies.
And it's so much fun to see in an audience.
It's so entertaining. People laugh. People are into it. And it's a little schlocky, but it's like the best elements of schlocky, but with a modern intelligence in filmmaking and directing.
And it was fun to see it in 3D. I would, especially for some of the sequences that we're not going to mention, but you should see it in the theater if you can.
All the underwater stuff, some of which is real underwater camera work and some of which is CGI, is terrific. I was totally into it. I was scared for the characters.
And Christopher Lloyd and Elizabeth Shue get back together from Back to the Future. It's fucking great.
Producer Mike said, if only Michael J. Fox had a cameo, it would be a Back to the Future reunion. It didn't occur to me.
Maybe with the sequel, and I don't think I'm blowing it by saying there will be a sequel.
Yeah, there's a big setup for a sequel. Also, Jerry O'Connell is terrific. Elizabeth Shue is not only great, but she's still super hot.
She's a MILF. She actually plays a mother, but she's a hot mother.
And supermodel actress, really more of a model than an actress, Kelly Brook. Bears all in this. She's one of the most beautiful women on the planet. You could see it only for her, but it's just so good. Even the lead guy, I don't know who he was, but he was great.
Lots of, because of the way rated R films used to be, lots of nudity.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, Jerry O'Connell, as most people know, plays a Girls Gone Wild type producer, so that's the device for all this nudity. And it's Spring Break.
Spring Break.
And, you know, so much of it is Jaws. Oh, do you cancel, get them out of the water? Do you cancel the partying? But it works.
It's so good.
And there's a Jaws tribute in the beginning.
What was that?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss.
It's not a secret that he's in the movie. So anyway, go see Piranha 3D. Terrific. Right.
So thanks to Alan Kistler for coming into the Action Room. One thing that I thought was funny is he did support us in us killing off the word podcast.
Yes, this was not in our interview today, but he had said to us about a week ago that he gets tired of people asking if his show is a podcast just because it's online.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
Solidarity.
Yes, we will all unite.
There is solidarity in non-podcast nests, even though our stuff is on the internet. And, we want to unite everyone.
Join the Action Army.
Join the Action Army. We're coming to you from the front lines of pop culture and geek culture.
All right. End it, Tony.
All right. See Piranha.
End it like Christopher Lloyd.
You've got to join the Action Room Army. Join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. And whatever you do, stay away from the piranhas, Marty!